everyone. It's great to have you with us. This is Will Tuttle. It's December 19th, 2013, and we are gathered here together on our once a month, the third Thursday of every month, World Peace Diet Circle call. And let's see here. I hope you can hear me okay. I'm going to talk. Actually, I remember right from last time I need to talk a little louder, so I'm going to put this right up to my mouth here. I hope everyone's doing well. And it looks like we have lots of folks here tonight. Much love to you all. Thanks for joining in to the call. And so I'm going to go ahead and get started here. And we will, just remember that this is a time for us to have a discussion. If there's any questions, comments, or concerns that you have about any of the ideas that we're dealing with in the World Peace Diet, veganism, spirituality, thriving as vegans, developing our ability to be more effective at spreading the vegan message in our communities and so forth, this is what we're here to discuss. And it's wide open, so I'm delighted that you're all here with us. So usually at the beginning, if you've been on the call before, you'll remember this, that I like to spend just a couple minutes at the very beginning before we jump into the call and talk a little bit about the purpose of the call. So the basic purpose, actually, of World Peace Diet Circle is to create a forum for us to exchange ideas and also to reconnect with the reasons that we are vegans and the reasons that we're passionate about bringing this message to others, to the world. And so I'd like to begin that process by inviting us to just take a moment wherever we are and turning our attention within. However you'd like to do that, I know if you're driving your car or whatever, that's not going to happen, but if you haven't, as far as closing your eyes, but just take a moment and feel our connection with our purpose, the inner purpose that we are here to fulfill, not being distracted by outer things, but turning our attention within to the truth that we are. That what we are is a manifestation of consciousness, that what we are is a manifestation of love and kindness, and that we are here to connect with our own unique way of bringing our understanding, our wisdom, our love to our communities and to our world, and to join together to help create a field of healing and peace, of justice and freedom, of celebration. And that we each have our own unique way, of course, of doing that. So we just give thanks for each other, for all of the other human beings that are engaged in the great work of questioning our culture's official stories about animals and about each other and about the earth and ecosystems, and opening ourselves to the interconnection that we share with all activists who are working both actively and through prayer and meditation, not only who are on the earth with us now, but also those who have gone before are still living and those who are to follow as well. And that we see ourselves as part of this larger movement. And we give thanks knowing that all of the ripples that radiate out into the world from our being together here this evening will be ripples to bring peace and healing and freedom to others, to all living beings. To the Infinite Spirit, we give thanks knowing this is so, and so it is. All right, so thank you again, all of you, for joining, and I'm going to talk a little bit here in the beginning about a few of the questions that came in over the month since we were last together. And so One of the questions that I got that I think is very important to think a little bit about is the question, I'm very good at listening to others. How can I be more proactive and less passive in helping to spread the World Peace Diet vegan message, / vegan message? And I think that's an incredibly important question, because a lot of us, if we are drawn to veganism, it's because we're more introspective. Very often we're more introverted. We're more sensitive to energy and to our feelings and to what's going on around us. And so we tend to be perhaps better listeners, listening to the cries. You know, this is, to me, an interesting connection. You know, but basically, in the Buddhist tradition, Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva of compassion, Chenrezig in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, is depicted typically as androgynous, both male and female, both passive and passive and active, and she or he, depending on, it's also Kuan Yin, which is a more feminine aspect in the Chinese tradition, the Kuan Yin or Avalokiteshvara or Chenrezig, the Bodhisattva or emanation of the enlightened mind of compassion, is Avalokiteshvara literally means he or she, the one who hears the cries of the world. And so there's this basic idea of being that compassion arises out of the capacity to hear, to listen, to pay attention, to be quiet, to be mindful, and that this is really the foundation of our activism as vegans, is the capacity to listen within and to listen to others. And so in no way do I think it's a good idea to sacrifice our capacity to listen so that we can be more active in spreading the message, because I think that's in many ways part of the problem in our entire culture, is that we're taught to be doers, and it doesn't matter what we're doing, just do something, you know, and this is a great saying by Thich Nhat Hanh. He says, don't just do something, stand there, and I think, you know, this basic idea that we're taught in our society to be chronically busy and active and doing is a form, in a sense, of addiction. I mean, it's like we're not comfortable just being receptive and listening and then waiting for guidance. So so the question, though, that we're hearing is that this person says, I'm good at listening, I'm good at hearing others, what they're saying, and listening to their point of view and so forth. But then, you know, how can I bring, I think what the questioner is asking basically is, how can I bring my understanding, my passion, my feelings, my enthusiasm for helping others effectively into our world? And it's very important, I think, to remember that the definition in the dictionary of compassion has two fundamental sides. The first side is the one that we usually think of, which is compassion is the ability to feel with the suffering of others. But the second side is, it is also the yearning to act, to relieve the suffering of others. So compassion is not merely the sense of, I have pity for, or I have sympathy, or I feel badly for the suffering of animals or hungry people, or the whole interconnected web of life, enormous suffering that's happening here. But it's compassion, really, is the key to compassion, is that it is also giving rise within us to a active yearning to do something to reduce the suffering of others. Without that, it's not compassion. And compassion, therefore, in many ways, is called the highest form of love. Love is a beautiful, obviously beautiful flowering of consciousness when we have this sense of yearning that others be happy, wanting them to be happy and so forth. But compassion is the actual yearning to act to relieve the impediments to others' happiness. So it's giving of ourselves to bless others. And so I think to answer the question directly, I think one of the foundational things that's important to practice for us as vegans, as we go along the vegan path, and if some of you saw the article that I wrote a while back on One Green Planet, I talked about the stages of veganism that we go through. I think I talked about this a couple of months ago. But as we move along through the stages, you know, in the beginning, very often we come to veganism for relatively shallow reasons, and either health or something or outrage at what's happening to animals, you know. But these are all good. But then this needs to be tempered in the fire of our life in this society, which is so antithetical to veganism. And so we very often will go through stages of anger and outrage at people and so forth. And then as we move along, I think especially if we have a regular spiritual practice of some kind that can help us to connect with our deeper levels of consciousness, we begin to connect with deeper wisdom, and we see the interconnections between the way people are acting and their programming. And so instead of being angry at them and blaming them, we begin to realize that this is a systemic problem, and that we are, as human beings, products of our culture. And so I think foundational to being able to be less passive and more effective, essentially, at spreading the vegan message, is going through this actual process in our own unique, authentic way of maturing as vegans. I think that's really the answer to the question, in a sense, or the best answer I can give, because I think there isn't any one right way to know, or one way to know what's really helping the world in terms of bringing a vegan world. You know, some people will be doing a lot of stuff in the outer world, really busy, really active, maybe starting an organization, getting a lot of funding, handing out vegan literature of some kind, or working on legislation, very involved, and apparently touching a lot of lives. But we don't know really, on a deep level, the quality of the actual activity. And someone else may seem to be doing less in terms of what they have to show for what they're doing, but perhaps it's actually touching more people in a more profound way, but less obviously. I think in many ways it comes down to the quality of our ability to embody what veganism is. And I think that the more we're embodying what veganism is at a deep level, the more our actions and words will actually have weight in a very transformational way with people at a deeper level. And so this question to me brings us right into a whole lot of other questions and issues. And basically, it has to do with, maybe I'll just mention a couple of them. One is how veganism is, in many ways, I think, different from other social justice movements. People have talked about how it's similar to other social justice movements, and we have to learn from other social justice movements. And I think, of course, there's some truth to that. There's a lot of overlap, of course, between other social justice movements and the vegan movement or the animal liberation movement. But I think it's different, number one, of course, obviously, because animals are not able to participate, so we're doing it entirely on their behalf. And number two, I think, much more deeply rooted and more primordial in our society. We live basically in a herding culture that's organized around herding animals, owning them as property for food and for products. And so this idea of objectifying living beings and turning them into commodities and objects leads necessarily to cruelty and to a disconnection from our natural sense of compassion and kindness. And I think in many ways that is the foundation for the other dilemmas that we face, the other social justice issues that we all know about, of racism and ageism and all the other sexism and, you know, all the things that people are working to try to ameliorate, slavery and prejudice and so forth. But underlying, I think, this mentality that gets injected into us with our meals through eating animal-based foods is this underlying mentality of the domination of the feminine, the domination and suppression of our natural compassion and sense of connectedness, the domination and suppression of the natural sense of justice and equality that we feel for other living beings, and really in creating a whole culture that's built on competition and exploitation of others and might makes right and so forth. This is really embedded very deeply. So I think with other social justice movements, we haven't really done all that well, actually. I mean, we've made some progress, but we still have so far to go. And so I think the reason is that the other social justice movements have not gone too far, actually, in being successful, is that we're still eating animal foods at a massive level. And so we're still essentially injecting into ourselves and into our children the underlying mentality that is the root cause of all of these dilemmas. And so with the vegan movement, we're actually addressing the core root issue and problem. And that, and so it doesn't just mean stop, you know, that I'm going to stop eating meat, dairy products, and eggs, and wearing wool, silk, and leather, and not buy products tested on animals, and so forth. These are huge steps to take, and I think it's a testament to how hard it is to actually look at all this stuff by how many people who are, you know, consider themselves to be on a path of ethical, spiritual, social maturity and activism and development, but who still eat meat, dairy products, and eggs and so forth, and wear wool, silk, and leather, and all of that. So to actually make the step to actually living a vegan lifestyle, even though it doesn't look like that big of a thing, it is a big thing to actually do it, but that's just the very beginning stage on the journey of unfolding and developing our consciousness. And so as we develop a deeper understanding of what veganism is and begin to root out of ourselves in many ways a lot of the underlying dynamics of our society, of competition and judgment and blame and anger at others and so forth, then we, I think, begin to really embody this sense of radical inclusion and boundless compassion and caring for others, for animals, and we begin to also apply that to people, the people in our lives. And I think the more we're living this at a deep level and making the effort and doing the hard work in the trenches of our daily relationships with other human beings, especially those who are close to us, then I think what veganism is really about begins to take root in us in a much more powerful and transformational way, and we begin to communicate with others who are not vegans. You know, we call them sort of half-humorously pre-vegans, you know, people who are still moving along on that path. Not that we're in any way superior, it's just that something has happened and we've been able to awaken out of the trance of the official story that's injected so incredibly strongly and effectively by every institution in our society, including our own parents and everybody else. And since we've been able to do that, we have a perspective, not that we're better than anyone, but that we are able to share with others. We can listen to them, understand what they're saying, understand their objections to veganism, because in many ways we probably already know that from our own experience, and then offer our lives as a living example of an alternative of that, and to find ways to do that are effective, I think, is really the key. And there's so many ways, I think, of bringing this message that are effective through art. I think the arts are really helpful. Through writing, through education, through cooking classes, through who knows. I mean, we can go on and on. And I think also, you know, we have, as you all know, probably we have the Worldwide Prayer Circle for Animals. If any of you are not familiar with that, that's at circleofcompassion.org. But every day at noon, Madeline and I and hundreds of other people, I'm not sure how many actually do it, but hundreds of people have signed up anyway online. I think about 800 have actually signed up. But anyway, we say a prayer, and the prayer has been translated into, I think it's right now, it's 18 languages. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings. That's the basic prayer. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings. And we just, every day at noon, wherever we are, we have a little, you know, my watch goes off and we stop and pause and just, wherever we're in the middle of whatever we're doing, and just take a moment and feel in our heart the truth of that. The idea is to hold it in our hearts that there is a reality. There's an actual living reality that's just as real as, is more real, really, than this so-called reality, where that is indeed true. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings. Let's just take a moment. I was talking to Lily the other day, and she says that she takes that on her Sunday night call. She takes a moment, and they say that together. And I thought that's a beautiful thing to do. Let's just take a moment and just contemplate that for a few seconds. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings. Yeah. No matter how it looks on the outer level, we can remember that on a deeper level, all beings are held within the compassion of a greater reality or understanding. We may not understand it with our conscious minds or with our intellect, but I think it's very important to remember that we've all been born into a culture that is part of the hurting mentality, the hurting culture. We are intensely materialistic, that the only thing that exists is what can be measured and quantified. And this basic materialism, philosophical materialism, I think, has a tendency to reduce our ability to see that life itself in its essence is much more than merely a physical life. When we see an animal and we eat animals and we see them as mere pieces of meat, and we tend to reduce life to just mere quantifiable physical manifestation, then we're reducing everything. So I think a lot of what veganism is about is questioning this materialism on a deep level and exploring within our own consciousness the truth that all living beings exist not just in physical reality but at a deeper reality of consciousness, of awareness. And at that level we're all equal. There's an awareness that gives rise to everything. And I think through meditation practices and through perhaps prayer work, or through perhaps just being in nature, or through music and creativity, or just through being receptive in some way, we can develop a felt realization of this truth. And I think that cultivating that is one of the most powerful things we can do, actually, to be less passive in bringing the message of veganism and more active into the world. Because if we really feel this, if we really cultivate this knowing, then I think whatever we are called to do, whether it's to have a weekly phone call, or if it's to share with people that we meet on the street, or if it's to have decide we're going to put on a World Peace Diet study group for 2 months somewhere, or have a cooking class, or do a blog, or make a movie, or write a song, or do a painting, or give lectures. There's so many different possibilities that, and many more than I've mentioned. But to be a coach, you know, I think there's a big need for a coach or mentor. To just be a mentor for others. There's lots of ways we can get involved with our communities, but the foundation of all of it, I think it's always important to remember, is the eternal quest that I think probably transcends just this lifetime to awaken to the truth that we are, which is much more than being merely a physical thing, and to see that in others, and then out of that I think comes the respect, and I think out of that comes creativity, So I don't really subscribe to a lot of what's going on in the animal rights movement right now in terms of theories and strategies of what's effective and what isn't, because a lot of them are just based on materialism. And I think at a deeper level, we're part of an awakening on this planet of human consciousness, and the best way to be part of it is to cultivate it in our own lives as best we can, and let our whatever actions we're doing be motivated from that. The other thing I will say to answer this question is that I do think it's a good idea to expose ourselves, even though it's maybe uncomfortable, to reminders about what the animals are enduring. You know, some people hate to hear, you know, when I say 75 million animals are being killed every day just in the United States for food, millions, every hour. And as we're talking right now, you know, they're being horribly treated by the thousands and dying in misery and pain. But I do think it is helpful to remember that, there is a background of suffering that is unnecessary that we are as a society inflicting on animals, and that it's not something that, in a sense, is going to just stop without people like us who are, as I say in the World Peace Diet, who are witnesses to the violence that's being perpetrated on the animals. You know, we're not engaging in it. We're not buying meat and dairy products and eggs. So if we don't buy it, that's good. You know, we're not contributing. But you know, the next step, obviously, beyond that is, if I'm watching a crime on the street, it's nice that I'm not actually the one robbing or hitting or whatever, but the next step is to try to stop the perpetrator from the action. So that means being creative and acting. And so I think our society can in many ways conspires to keep everyone numb to the violence towards animals. That it's not known, it's not talked about, you have to kind of go out of your way to find out about it. But I do think it's helpful, and that's one of the reasons for me personally that I do keep watching videos, even though I've seen them thousands of times. I think, that's one of the reasons I think it's good that, you know, we have people doing undercover videos to remind us that it's not getting better in these places. You know, Mercy for Animals has just released a couple more videos of Dairy and others that show the most unbelievably horrific cruelty towards animals going on right now. It's happening. And so I think that just being aware of that is helpful. And then, of course, balancing that with the understanding that there's an awful lot of beautiful things happening as well, that we're finding there's enormous beauty in the world of people helping each other, and animals celebrating their lives, and people celebrating their lives, and good things are happening. So, you know, I really want to emphasize to everyone that it's important for us as vegans, especially as vegan activists, not to wallow in the violence too. I mean, that can be very disempowering, and very often people who don't do any more activism at all, that was a mistake they made, was that they weren't able to bring in and remember and see, you know, we can open our eyes and see birds chirping and flying around and realize there's a lot of beauty and joy in creation. Creation is basically celebrating, you know. So to really remind ourselves of that as well, I think that's part of the, it's a heroic path in many ways to be a vegan in the society today. That we're helping, and yet the help is not appreciated. We're blamed for it in many ways, and so it takes a lot of inner, I think, strengthening, and also it's helpful to have gatherings like we're having now where we can share together with people who understand the agony of being someone who can hear the cries of the world in a world where everybody has their earplugs in and can't hear it. And we want to try to help people take the earplugs out, hear the violence, hear the screams of the animals, and then stop stabbing them, stop doing this, stop paying for the violence. And there's no greater gift we can give to animals, to ourselves, really, and to the world. I think then embodying this at a deeper level and then using our intuition, our inner wisdom that knows how to respond in the different situations that we find ourselves in. So that's answering that one question. I'd like to maybe pause here, if I can, and invite everyone who's listening, if you have any, either a follow-up comment or question or observation to what I just said. I believe you all know it's, you just press *6 on your phone if you'd like to. I think that's the only way. Am I right about that, Tara? I think that's the only way. Tara is connected by Skype. I know you can connect by Skype. I know. You can send an email. Just send an email to me or to Tara. We'll tell littlethink.net. If you have a question, here, send me an email. I can quickly check here, too. If you're, for some reason you're not able to press *6 and raise your hand, if you'd like to, I can do it that way. We can do it that way, too. But if, you know, if anyone has any question or comment about what I've just been saying, or if you have any question or comment about something else, I mean, this is the time. This is once a month, and I'm delighted to respond to any questions, and I'm sure other people can contribute their wisdom as well. So if you have any thoughts or comments on anything I've just been saying, please feel free to press *6 or send me an email. If I don't hear anything, let's see here. I do have a message. All right, this is interesting. I just got a message from somebody that they're having a hard time hearing me. So press *6 if that's true. If it's true, then I'm going to have to get off this phone and get on the other phone, because that's an important consideration, actually. Is everyone, can you all hear me more or less okay?
No.
Oh, my God.
No. Okay, very difficult.
It's hard to hear you, Will.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Your voice is pretty faint.
It's very, very faint.
Okay. Let me just try. Let's try this. Okay, just a second. Here we go. I'm just going to try this.
Yeah.
Okay. So, is this better? Is this better or not?
Yeah.
Is this better? Yes. Hello. Okay.
That's a lot better, Will.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's better. I don't know what you did, but it's better.
Well, I'm on a different phone, basically.
Okay. Well, that's better. We can hear you better. I mean, I can hear you better now. So.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if anyone else can.
Good. Okay. All right. Well, I apologize if it was really hard. Could you hear? Could you basically hear what I was saying, though?
Yeah, off and on. It was you had to strain to hear you.
Right.
Could you put it back into a nutshell, a quick nutshell there?
Okay.
Yeah, and
right.
But Will, I wanted to let you know, this is Jeanette in Oregon. I heard you fine, so I don't know what it was. I had you on speakerphone and all the way up, and I had no problem hearing you.
Okay. All right, that's good. That's what happened last week, last month. I some people said they had a hard time hearing, and other people didn't have any trouble at all, so I wasn't sure. I'll try to do a brief summary of what I said, just very briefly, and then open it up for questions. Briefly, as you all heard, it was my response to the question, how I'm good at listening, how can I be more proactive and less passive in helping to spread the World Peace Diet / vegan message. And the main thing I wanted to emphasize is that veganism is really primarily a product of our capacity to listen. And I use the metaphor of Avalokiteshvara and the Bodhisattva of compassion and listening, that spiritual quality essentially is the foundation. So we certainly don't want to reduce that, and that essentially embodying as best we can more and more deeply on the journey of veganism, the qualities of what veganism actually is, which is in radical inclusiveness, including all other beings in the sphere of our compassion, not just animals but other human beings, and living this more and more in our relationships. So it's really a call, I think, for self-transformation beyond the surface level of giving up meat, dairy products, and eggs and so forth, to actually questioning all of the program at the hands of our society and the underlying deep tendencies that we all have to be competitive, to be judgmental, to react to people, to put people into boxes in our own minds, to undercut them in some way. And so it's really a calling, actually, I think, in many ways, toward complete spiritual awakening. The way to really be effective as a vegan activist is to fully, more and more fully embody what the spiritual path is all about, because veganism in many ways is that. It's being an instrument of peace and joy and love and freedom and so forth. I also emphasize the importance of being open to the suffering in the world, so maybe taking time to see videos that are undercover and to be aware. If the animals have to go through this, I can go through it. I can go through actually watching it, even though it's maybe traumatic. But then to be sure to bring the sense of that I have of others suffering. So I think it's important to be aware of that, to turn it into action. I think if we turn it into action and act in some way, then that is very empowering. And then I also emphasize the importance of seeing the beauty in the world and taking time to really connect with the beauty in our own lives, to be aware of the love and joy and creativity of other human beings. There's a lot of wonderful things happening too. So it's very important, I think, not to get overwhelmed with the suffering, because a lot of animal rights activists or vegans tend to burn out when they feel that it's such a dark, dismal world that we suddenly are aware of, and we don't want to think about it anymore, and nobody wants to hear about it, so I'm not going to bring it up, that whole thing. So to basically every day take time to cultivate the qualities of consciousness that we would like to develop, gratitude for our life, sense of joy in the possibility to have another day of growing and maturing and celebrating our lives, and knowing that every day has opportunities for us to help others and to live our dream. What is it that we're here to do? To find our mission. I think that's the foundation of the whole thing, is that we, as human beings, we're on this planet with a mission. There is some reason we're here, and I think that real joy in our lives comes as we are able to resist the cultural program of having that mission be a mere shallow consumerist kind of thing, where I'm trying to take from others and build up my own self-image at the expense of others and so forth. And instead of that, to actually make a meaningful contribution that's creative and fulfilling, even though it doesn't mean our lives are suddenly easy, we still have lots of stuff to deal with, but there's an underlying feeling of joy and fulfillment and authenticity in our lives. And I think when that happens, we get confidence. Our confidence comes, and when our confidence gets stronger, when we really understand what veganism is all about. I think it's very important to really, read The World Peace Diet a couple of times, and of course others' books as well, to understand the deep structures of our culture and the issues that we're facing, so that when we talk to people, we're confident. We don't have to know every little thing, but we're confident in the basic principles of what this is all about. The fact that other animals are suffering at our hands, that it's not necessary for us to be imprisoning them and killing them for food, and that there are so many wonderful alternatives, and that we're doing it. I think it's very important to really bring home the idea that we're all doing this because of our cultural indoctrination, to help people feel into that, so that it's not like we're not judging them. We're just helping them, hopefully, to see that we're raised in a society where we're forced into these behaviors and into the mentality that causes these behaviors, and that's not in our best interest or anyone's best interest. So we're not judging in any way. We're being their friends. All right, so that's a probably too long of a summary, but hopefully now you can hear me better. And I'm going to go ahead and answer. We have a little queue of questions here. So the first one in the queue here, I'm going to unmute, is Lily. Okay, Lily, you're unmuted. Are you there? Lily, hello. Okay, I'm going to go to the next one. This is area code 425. Are you there?
Hey, Will, can you hear me?
Hi. Yes.
Oh, hi. Hi, everybody. I'm out walking. I'm on earbuds, and I could hear you just fine. When other people spoke, it was, like, really loud. So, anyways,
right?
The earbuds were just fine when I was walking. But, anyway, I couldn't help but call in again. I know I want to be proactive and use my creativity, but I've been on this long road trip, so I got a book on CD called Animal Vegetable Miracle. And when I got to the fourth CD, my mouth was, like, dropped open because this woman, she's talking about living off the land and everything. And she basically talks about how her little daughter loved the chickens so much. And she said, I love them on a scale of like 1 to 10 as much as you. And the mother is reading the book, and she basically talks about how she got her kid to eat meat and to start raising these chickens for broilers so that she could buy a horse. And I guess two things I just wanted to connect with. Other people who would go, oh, my God, that's so crazy. And then also to say maybe like an Amazon comment, like, you know, I can see how my sensitivity was squelched and what damage that does to a kid. I don't know if that's the best thing or not, but it's just like she was talking about birds and how we don't raise them for their brains, you know. And they're cute as little turkeys, but when they get older, it's easy. And then she also said something about, we have learned not to make the mistake of naming them. And this whole thing, it was very patronizing to vegans. I mean, you could tell her editor was working with her big time, but it was really something.
So that's, just so I'm clear on this, that's a book called Animal, Vegetable, Mineral. Is that right? Am I right about that?
Animal Vegetable Miracle.
Oh, Miracle. Uh-huh.
And it's a book, and I got the CD because I'm driving a lot, and I just wanted to listen to something, so I got the book on CD. And you can hear a lot in her voice. You know, the tone of voice says a lot.
Is the author actually reading it?
Yeah, the author, and then her daughter, Camille, is reading a chapter, and then her husband reads some of it, too. So it's a whole family affair.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, just be careful, you know, because vegans, you want to add a lot of extra, all this stuff. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I was just horrified when I got to CD4 about that little girl who all of a sudden she goes, all right, well, if I want to buy a horse, I better raise meat, chickens.
Wow, that's incredible. I mean, I'm not surprised, but it's so disturbing to me also to hear that kind of thing, how the little girl was her natural compassion was crushed by her mother, really, in the financial situation.
Yeah, and her mother was saying, okay, so I'm rated up there with a chicken. You know, it's almost like, how dare you, little girl, even rate me, the love you have for me, compared to a chicken. And, you know,
Could you explain that? So I didn't quite catch that. So I just want to make sure I understood that. She said that she loves chickens on a scale of 1 to 10, like a 10 as much as she loves her daughter?
No. The little girl, she said something like, Mom, I love these chickens. I love them so much, and I love them as much as I love you. And the mother said, okay. And then the mother was really trying to, you know, talk to her and understand. And she goes, well, okay, if you're a 7, if I love my chicken a 7, then I love you a 7. And then she got her to change it to the mom actually was rated one number higher. And It's a jaw dropper.
Yeah, because I think kids naturally do, if they're allowed to, you know, sort of interact with animals, they naturally, because they don't have all this all these concepts in place, they just naturally connect with the beautiful little animals. I mean, big animals, whatever they are. I mean, they naturally have a sense of affinity, I think. I mean, that's an important point. I think to always remember that animals, I think, you know, as kids, we naturally are drawn to animals, and they're very often our best friends because they don't use the same kinds of power trips that adults around us are using and all of that. So I think we feel a natural sense of rapport with animals. But when we're forced to eat them, then the whole thing starts unraveling, you know, and it's really, it is shocking to see that actually happening. Wow. So
that's it. I just wanted to share that.
Yeah. I don't know if I don't know if you saw it, but there was one video that they had. I think I had it in November's resources. I don't know if anyone saw it, but it was a video
that little kid.
This was a video of a turkey, of a woman who runs a place where they have free-range turkeys, and they slaughtered right on the. They did it. I mean, they took the video themselves slaughtering the turkey for Thanksgiving, and how much they love the turkey, you know. And it was I tried, you know, I actually tried to get Madeline to watch it, and she refused because she said, "I just can't. No, I just can't watch that." But to me, it was like. It was really very interesting to see how they actually, you know, loved this turkey. I mean, they were stroking her, they were calling her all these wonderful names. "You're so beautiful, we love you," you know, and just holding her. One was sitting on her and holding her down so she couldn't move. The other was holding her head and saying how much they loved her. And she had her knife right in her hand and right underneath the throat and kept talking all these nice things and then just cut her head off. This is like the most bizarre, you know.
It reminds me because that mother said, "Okay, you can't name them," but then she kind of joked later. She goes, "But when they call them Sausage and Thanksgiving and they had all these names," she said, "Well, that's okay then to call them those names."
Right, I know. I met a guy who had a goat, and he named him Drum. So he said, "He's going to be a drum." Wow. Well, thanks so much for sharing your name.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Yeah, great. All right. Talk to you later.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, yeah. We have another person on the line, area code 650. Are you there?
Oh yeah, this is Rochelle. I wasn't able to hear anything when you went to the questions, and the only way I could hear anything is if I went to the queue for a question. So I don't have a question.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to hear.
So you don't actually have a question at the moment, then? You're good.
I don't know, but it was the only way that I could hear. So, but thanks.
But it's better now, obviously. So that's good.
It's much better. Thank you.
Right. Okay. Great. Thanks. Let's see. Is this Tara?
Hi, everybody.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you very much. I am absolutely disturbed by that last the story about the turkeys. But you know, it brings to mind, there's actually a food movement that I had forgotten about, but I heard about from a carnivorous chef, where you're supposed to love and massage your food and pour all of this love into the animal flesh. And I just wonder whether that was something they were considering, was that they were just going to, you know, be the beneficiaries of having this loved up turkey, you know, because that's the last thing that poor animal experienced was positive emotions. That's that's satanic. I mean, that's absolutely disturbing that anybody should even do that.
It's true. It's really disturbing, and to actually see it to actually see it is.
I could not watch that. I heard about that video, but I can't. I'm with Madeline on that one. I can't do it. Sorry.
You know, it's one of those things. It's like, God, I wouldn't want to trust this woman with a knife around me.
No, entirely true, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to address what you were talking about earlier. And something I found, and this is quite obvious, but something I've found is that, well, first of all, we go through our life not knowing what our life's purpose is. And and I found that veganism, because we start giving purpose back to others and animals, that slowly our own life purpose starts to reveal itself to us. But it may not happen, you know, immediately. So a lot of us, you know, as we become vegans and we want to be active, we have no idea what to do. So we table and we hand out leaflets and everything, and maybe these things don't resonate with us very well. So what does resonate with me, what I think is really one of my callings, is to partner with people and support people that are already doing this work. I support you. And I also support other organizations, Circle of Compassion and the Pollination Project. And I get incredible, satisfaction out of being in this group, this circle of people, and we're all, you know, of the same mind and heart and doing the same thing. And I have real skills that I can contribute. So each of us has like a work world, a work life, and we have real skills. Some of us may be accountants or secretaries or who knows, construction workers. And there's organizations out there that really need your help. So don't wait. You know, the Pollination Project, for instance, you can provide pro bono support to the grantees that they give grants to. And it's so satisfying to actually, obviously it'd be very appreciated. Somebody that needs a grant doesn't have a lot of money, they're in a startup, and a lot of the nonprofits don't have a lot of money. And being able to support that with your skills that you already have is just another way of being able to bring meaning into your life.
Yeah, that's really important. There's so many organizations, like you're saying, or not necessarily organizations, but maybe people whose work you admire, and if you have a little extra time or you have certain skills, you could help them out. That's a great thing to do. Actually, you're right.
Yeah, and then you kind of ride sidecar until you get your bearings, until you get an idea of what it is you really want to do. And, it's just another path, another way.
Great. Thanks for mentioning that. That's really important. And do you want to say something, would you like to say anything at all about the Pollination Project or about World Peace Writers? Because I think a lot of people maybe don't know what you're doing with those at all.
All right. Yeah. WorldPeaceWriters.org. From the facilitator circle forum, I started noticing that there were really prolific writers there. Some of the most beautiful writings, more beautiful than anything I've read in any magazines or books, are as beautiful and valid and heartfelt, were being expressed in the forum. And I thought, wow, we are authors. We just don't know it yet. Our voice needs to be heard. So one of my skills is creating websites. So I created a website, and I've invited any of you, if you feel so called to write, a safe place to be a resident author. And you don't have to be somebody already. You just begin there. And the most eclectic voices are coming out of this. You must visit. There's some very edgy writing going on. Some beautiful edgy writing going on. Very courageous words are coming from this group of people. And currently we've got Marlene and Stefan, who's Marlene's out of Massachusetts. Stefan is in France. So we're global. And in fact, I want to see multi-language support. I'd like to see our writers interpreting, because we have many second languages. And Madeline is a writer, a resident author now. And that is really exciting because I've never really read anything, but yet I know she's a very wise woman. So she's got some interesting articles. And Veronique is one of our resident authors. And I hope to see Catherine and Natasha and Luca and Julia from Germany as well joining us soon. So, and you're welcome to promote whatever it is that you're already doing. It's not a vehicle for that, but it's welcome. You know, you can always speak about what you do or your website can be in your signature. And we also have a guest author every month, and Madeline was our first guest author, and Will is our second guest author, and I featured him, his poetry, in December, because I thought that was a really different view of what he has to say. And so please visit the website, comment on the articles, and if you'd like to join up, just email me or send a inquiry through the contact form at the very bottom of the page. And the Pollination Project is giving away $1,000 grants every single day. And the seeds of this intention began with a 13-year-old boy who happened to be walking down Venice Beach Boardwalk and saw Jingles, the ever-present vegan advocate who has for more than 30 years, I guess, has been speaking about veganism in Venice. And a small seed was planted in his mind and his heart. And then he happened to come back when he was in his 20s, and he just got it. So never underestimating the power of handing someone a pamphlet or saying something that will make sense much later. So Ari Nessel is giving away, he happened to make it very big in real estate, and he's giving away $1,000 grants. It's a completely vegan organization. And the grants, although they are for the areas of social justice, wellness, environment, animals, those sorts of areas, and no animal foods may be served at the event or promoted or anything like that. So they're vegan grants, yet we don't insist that each of the people be vegans. So we hope to have a soft approach of influencing them by asking questions and having requirements for the grant. So that is extremely inspiring to me because I am reading stories. Visit their website at thepollinationproject.org. I'm reading stories like today. I read about a guy named Jordan and he heard about a practice called gigging in Tennessee. And if you're from the South, you may have some idea of what that is. Gigging is where they take this pitchfork-like thing and they reach into the mud of a swamp or a bayou or a river, and they basically pierce a frog and kill it and plop it into a bag and take it home and cook it. And it's horrific. It's a horrible thing. And I remember hearing about it when I was growing up, and because I was still under the influence of where I was, it was just sort of a rite of passage. Well, this young man heard about a festival celebrating gigging in Tennessee, so he went there and he showed up to protest it and basically to awaken people to how horrific the practice is. And, you know, it's just so inspiring to see people that just get up and go somewhere and say, no, this is not okay. So it's been going on for hundreds of years. It's not okay. And awakening people to it. So he's one person that received a grant recently. So just being able to read these stories is very heartwarming and very inspiring. Instead of just feeling like it's all negativity, this is an organization that's giving people money to do the right thing. And I love that. I think that's very cool. We need more of it. So if you have any money, create one of these organizations so we can help more people out.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I want to reemphasize that. I usually try to speak about it at least every month or two. The Pollination Project is a fantastic project by Ari Nessel, and but if you just go to Pollination Project, I think it is right, pollinationproject.org, or thepollinationproject.org, and Ari is, the Pollination Project is giving grants of $1,000, micro grants every day, and if you have a project that could use $1,000 in seed money to help you bring the vegan message in some way that you'd like to do that, it's a great opportunity, and I'm one of the ambassadors. And if you're going to make some kind of a proposal, just let me know, and I can put in a good word, and that seems to help quite a bit in the process. So thanks so much, Tara, for letting us know about the Pollination Project that you're working with, and also World Peace. Writers.org, I really want to recommend everyone, if you have a chance, to go there and see the tremendous articles that are being written by people. I just read Stefan's article the other day, and Madeline did too, and Marlene's, and everybody, Veronique, and yours, Tara. It's great to, Stefan's article about the goose in France that he became friends with was very powerful. So it's a fantastic resource, and we can all get involved with that. It's great. Another example. Thanks, Tara.
Thank you.
Great. Okay, so I'm going to check one more. Lily, are you there? Is your phone? I'm not sure if Lily's. She was going to say
I'm
something.
Here, Will.
Oh, you're there. Okay, good.
And I want to thank Tara so much. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Yeah, I just wanted to see if you wanted to add anything about what you're doing on Sunday evening or anything else.
Yeah, I just first want to thank Tara, because after I heard, I think it was Grace's share about the CD, when I heard about the turkey, these kinds of things just affect me so physically. I feel like I'm being stabbed in the heart. And I'm so grateful that Tara is so upbeat, and because I personally, as an activist, I need that. I need to spread the joy of what it is to be vegan, because there's a lot of joy in it. But the pain of listening, absolutely satanic practices, all of them, everything, the book, the little child, the turkey, it's all horrible.
Right.
It makes me want to leave the planet. It just makes me want to get off the planet. So not that I'm suicidal, but, you know, my ticket to staying here is being an activist in any way that I can. And so this is my philosophy. Read the World Peace Diet once and go vegan yourself. But keep reading it reading it again and again, because I think the World Peace Diet, aside from you, Will, you wrote it, but the book itself has a life of its own. And continuous reading of the World Peace Diet cannot help but make a person an activist for, you know, coming out of the crowd, not just being a good, happy, healthy vegan all by himself. And so with me, it takes a lot of energy to do what I'm doing, because I do a lot of phone work. I call people back and I thank them for coming, and I remind them that it's there, and we have I'm not I'm not on the internet, but I have a co-helper with the World Peace Diet Sunday who has things posted on the internet, and it's just a lot of work, but it's my ticket to staying here and being positive about life here, because otherwise all I'm going to do is just be depressed over the enormity of the insanity out there, the enormity of it. It makes me crazy. So the World Peace Diet Sunday is counteractive to the craziness that's going on. And
right.
when Madeline first came on, she said, I'd like to see phone bridges like this, you know, all over the place. Great. But what I would like to see is everybody that's on this call and on the call that comes in every Sunday, we've been doing it now for 10 weeks. What I'd like to see is everyone talking to people. It's a great resource, because what are we doing? We're reading the World Peace Diet together. The World Peace Diet is what made me who I am today. I had no plans of being a vegan activist. Never. I mean, I didn't plan to be a vegan. So I know, and it made a lot of other people that are on the call vegan. So I know that it is a great tool of transformation, greater than even looking at some video, because of it's ongoing. It's something that you just keep, it has everything in it. It is the Bible of the vegan movement. Donald Watson said so, and I agree with him. I've read a lot of books on the vegan movement, and the World Peace Diet is all-inclusive. It's like a perfectly cut diamond. It is a perfect tool of activism to put people on the phone, on that phone bridge that we've got going now, once a week, just 1 hour a week, and just, you know, refer people to it. Get the phone bridge number. I'm putting flyers up all over my community, and I'm getting everyone that's on the World Peace Diet now to do that too, and just put the phone, you know, in the health food stores everywhere. Because
right.
If people will come and even hear a portion of it and just come back for more and get the book and start reading it, it is a tool of transformation. Utterly, utterly. I'm a person of the book, and that book is the World Peace Diet. I'm a product of that book for 7 years now. And it's not a very long time. I wish it could have been my whole life. I wish I'd known what I knew out of that book, what I learned out of that book when I was born. But, and it's deep and it's wide, and it's okay that people don't understand all of it. That's okay. If they come on the phone bridge, if they come on, they're going to get their needs met, because it's a discussion group as well. And they can ask questions. And we've had non-vegans on there who have said, oh, my God, oh, my God. And we were only reading a few pages, because we're only on chapter 3 right now. We've been going on for 10 weeks. It's a wonderful way to expose people to the World Peace Diet. And I want to give that number out. Please send people to it, because I'm so grateful that Grace comes on and brings people. She went to a person's house and they were listening to it together. It's really getting community together around the World Peace Diet, because really, truly, that's why we're here. I mean, I don't think most of the people on this call were not vegan before. Maybe I'm wrong, but most people on the call were not vegan before the World Peace Diet. I don't know if I'm right about that, but I know that I wasn't. I hadn't planned to be. It changed my life entirely. And I could like to tell Will, you ruined my life, but that's okay, because I really don't want any other life but this. I realize now that that's the only reason I have had very many near misses with death, that to be a voice for the voiceless. What better purpose is there on the planet? None. None. That's the only purpose, to turn this Titanic around and to really be a voice for the voiceless, and do it in simple, easy ways, like coming to a phone bridge study of the World Peace Diet. I mean, that's a real easy way to be an activist. So I'm going to
right,
give the number.
Yeah, you just meet for just 1 hour, right? You don't go, you just...
1 hour, and then I stay on for about 15, 20 minutes to answer any questions, and I also tell them how to get the book. And if anyone, you know, I give out my number. There's a lot of vegan coaches on there now, and they're vegan coaches. The reason they're vegan, they're not working vegan coaches, where this is all... pro bono, this is all not for money making, because this is, you know, this is what the whole mission of the World Peace Diet. It's really, almost every other page says if we want to continue as a species, we're going to have to change. So it's
right.
Really, that's the message of the World Peace Diet. And people get it. People get it. So there are people that can help people with putting together a vegan food plan. There are also people that can help people lose weight as a vegan, because you can become a fat vegan if you're not eating properly. And I'm one of those people. I am a sponsor in a program where I am maintaining a fair amount of weight loss and teaching people how to eat a vegan food plan and losing weight doing it. Because there are fat vegans, too. It just, people think, oh, I'm going to become a vegan, I'm going to be thin automatically. No, not at all. You know, you can get fat as a vegan. And so there are people that do that. There are people that basically, well, they share what they eat. They share how they eat. They also share their recipes. So even though, you know, when you have your facilitator group, you might have a potluck. Well, this is instead of a potluck. And you give out your number, and I always give mine out if anybody wants to call and get some recipes. And, of course, it's all over the Internet. Vegan recipes are, you know, thank God, they're all over the place. You can figure out what to eat as a vegan. You just have to want to be one, and the
right.
World Peace Diet takes care of that. I mean, I was totally, I mean, you can't, once people get into the World Peace Diet and really understand what they've read, it didn't take long for me. I guess I was ready. By the third chapter, I was vegan, and so was my husband. And now I'm on the fourth and fifth reading. I'm reading the fourth one myself and the fifth one with the group, and I listen to it all the time. I keep it, I want to embody the World Peace Diet because there's so much information. I want to have that information available for any question, because the World Peace Diet covers it all. So if I can be a living encyclopedia of the World Peace Diet, I'm a more effective activist, because I don't have to scratch my head and say, let's see, I don't know about that. I have the information. There's information. Very valuable information about how to be an effective vegan on every level. You know, so I just want people to come to this. I'm trying to break the 20 people barrier here. We had 20 people a couple of times, and what happens is people come and then they, you know, it's the holidays, they get busy, whatever. But I just think that after a critical mass, just like with veganism, I think it just takes 10% of the Earth population to be vegan to really start the transformation and the revolution. And that's what we're trying to do. We're on the cutting edge of starting the vegan revolution before it's too late.
Yeah.
So
great. Yeah, you're right. Tell us the remind everybody 712 of the time and the phone number.
Oh, the time is. I'll give it Eastern time, because then you just do the math. Well, Eastern is 8
yep.
o'clock every single Sunday. And I like to joke, and I like to say, till the end of time, every single Sunday, I'm doing this, no matter what. And if I can't do it for any reason, I have someone who will be able to do it for me. So I'm doing this. I'm committed to this. This is my life purpose. And it's the only way I could think of, other than I have writing, I will contribute, but I feel like this is something really tangible that I'm doing week after week, and it's changing me too. It keeps me definitely more open to, you know, every person is a prospect for this, and it's something I can plug them into. It's beautiful. 8 o'clock every single Sunday at 8 o'clock Eastern, you know, 5 o'clock Pacific time. And every time in between, we do have people calling in from Australia now, and I don't know exactly what time it is. It's the next day over there, but it's growing. But I want it to be big. I want it to, you know, I want what we all want. I want this to be over. I want this massacre of the innocents to be over. So.
Yes. And what's the number?
712-432-3900. And it's and then you press in 568-364-pound. And *6 to mute, *7 to unmute. And I really want to thank people from the from your circle of compassion. So we're all part of that circle of compassion, but I'm saying for your specific one,
right.
That's this one, this call, I want to thank Catherine for coming. I want to thank Joanna. I want to thank Suzanne, and I want to thank Grace. And please plug people into this. Yeah, I mean, you're already vegan, but you can't be too vegan. You can't
Great.
Be too vegan. You can't. You there's nothing you can do that is too much for this cause. And I can't do as much as I would like, but I'm doing the best I can. It's very small, but it actually it's like what Tara was saying about that 13-year-old boy. He heard about it, and then now he's acting on it. We're planting seeds. So I plant a lot of seeds. Oh, a lot of seeds. And a few sprouts come up and show up on Sunday night. But I make hundreds of calls. And it's, I mean, I've figured out all kinds of other people I can reach now through other organizations. Just let them
Great.
Know about this. Let them know. Let people know that this is a way to read the world. And people love it. People love reading it in community because they feel more safe if they're not vegan to express themselves. Being alone with the World Peace Diet and having no one in the house with you, like I had my husband, but being alone with it and you're reading it might be too confrontational for a lot of people. So they keep it in their house. They read a few pages and they say, oh, I can't do this. But together in community, we are, after all, a hurting culture. We're all hurting together for the World Peace Diet. And we've all come out of that. We've all come out of the hurting culture. We're part of the herd. And together, we can read the World Peace Diet in community and really move forward with this. That's my vision for the World Peace Diet. And for me, it's only the World Peace Diet. It's not about what I might have to say or whatever. The World Peace Diet says it all. And every person who's read it that I have turned them on to it became vegan almost automatically. And I became vegan automatically. It's that easy to go vegan if you read the World Peace Diet. That's why I'm committed to it. So I'm not going to say anymore, but I just thank you for letting me express that. And
yeah, that's important. Thank you so much, Lily, really. I think, you know, I decided it would be a good idea to have it on the World Peace Diet main web page, worldpeacediet.org. There's a link there. It's World Peace Diet Sunday, and you can see it there, World Peace Diet. You can just go to worldpeacediet.org/sunday.htm, or you can just go to the website and click on it. And it has the phone number and the time and the code and all that stuff too. So it's on the internet, even though Lily's not on the internet herself, but we have that up there on the worldpeacediet.org website. So I think you're right. It's a good way to actually encourage people to interact with the World Peace Diet. If they don't want to read it themselves, maybe they'd be, like Lily said, be happy to read it in community. And it's also a great way, I think, to just connect with the community, just reading it and having, I know there's also some discussion as well of the book, but it's primarily reading the World Peace Diet, and it's every Sunday, as she said. And that's another, you know, another example of ways that we can find each one of us to help bring this message to others. And there's so many more, for sure. We're getting kind of to the end here of our time. It's been almost an hour and a half, so a couple of things I just want to mention here as we get ready to close. One is that I heard from Lorena Muck. Her name is Lorena Muck, and she's a wonderful activist for animals. She's also a World Peace Diet facilitator based in Atlanta, Georgia. And she's going to be with us on the call in January. As you all know, we have a call coming up on the third Sunday of January. That'll be our next call, which will be January 16th.
Thursday, January 16th, and she's going to be sharing with us some of what she's been doing. But she gave 97 presentations about veganism at high schools in Atlanta over the past year. 97 presentations. She just goes into the public school and gives a presentation on veganism. She's reached over 2,800 students doing that just herself, you know, and that's just one. That's one of the things she does. She also has, I always recommend it, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, she sends out a wonderful newsworthy email about what's happening in the world of veganism, with lots of links to very interesting articles. Some of the ones on the resources that we get every month. Some of the, you know, some of them actually come from Lorena. So she'll be with us next week, next month, excuse me. And also, I wanted to mention that Patricia Todd, who's a Wolfie Side facilitator, will be talking to us probably next month too, or next month or so, about her project, which is to have a vegan education display in the lobby of the Humane Society, where she works in Southern California, San Gabriel Valley Humane Society, and she's been working, and she has a pollination, she's applied for a pollination project for that. So that's another example of doing something locally, think globally, act locally, you know, that idea, and she's working with the Humane Society, which none of them are vegans, they love dogs and cats. She wants to bring the vegan method, so she's been going to meetings with the board of directors and making presentations and trying to convince them that this would be a good way to reduce suffering besides the you know, caring for dogs and cats, but to encourage people to go vegan there. And so thank you, Patricia, for that so much. I also wanted to mention in terms of pollination project grants, I just found out that another project that I'm affiliated with, actually I'm not doing this directly, but there's a publishing company called Vegan Publishers. They just got a pollination project grant to do a book, which is making the connections between our mistreatment of animals for food and the other problems that we're having in our society. And it was originally, I was a contributor to this project. It was called Connect the Dots, and I wrote an essay, and quite a few other people were writing essays. Melanie Joy has written an essay, and a bunch of other people in the movement, Carol Adams, some of you know these people. But anyway, to make a long story short, the people who were doing it finally just ran out of steam and didn't want to do it anymore, and so the whole thing was going to not happen. And then I talked to the publisher, and he asked if I would take over the project, and I agreed to do that. So there's a book coming out probably in April that I am the editor of and contributing several articles to the, you know, the introduction and the conclusion, and I'm editing all the whole thing and getting more writers and so forth. And we've changed the title. The title is going to be Circles of Compassion, Essays Linking Human, Animal, and Environmental Well-Being. And so that, this is a book that's gotten the Pollination Project grant to get it going. And the whole idea is to, again, bring this message of compassion for animals and help people understand how important it is in terms of the larger picture of what we're experiencing as a society. I was glad to hear also that Tara mentioned Natasha and Luca, and I think if those of you who don't know who Natasha and Luca are, they are a wonderful couple who live now in Australia. They used to live in Vilcabamba, Ecuador, and they moved back to their native Australia recently. They're also World Peace Society facilitators, have gone through the program, and you may be aware that Madeline and I are flying in a month to Australia, and so we'll be going first to Taiwan for about 5 days. I'll be giving quite a few lectures there. The World Peace Diet, as you may know, is doing very well in Taiwan. It's one of their best-selling books there. And I'll be giving some lectures there, and then we'll be going to Australia and doing a real wonderful tour. People are setting up, volunteers are setting up. We've got now, I think, 13 different lectures in about 14 days, I think. It's really a lot. And you can go to the website, which is, I wonder how I
I'll just have to send you all a link to the website. But anyway, you go to the website, and it's, if I have it right here, well, it's, well, maybe I don't have it. It's, I'll give you 2 seconds. But anyway, there's, we're going to be going there, and then also going to New Zealand following that. And that's, to me, just a wonderful opportunity to bring the vegan message to the, a whole other audience. And, it's, again, it's being all set up by volunteers in these 2 countries. It's Will Tuttle Tour, www.willtuttletour.org, .au. So if you go to that website, willtuttletour.org.au, you can see all the details. And if you know anybody in Australia, New Zealand, you can send them to that website. We're going to be in Perth, Townsville, Sunshine Coast, Toowoomba, Brisbane, Byron Bay, Canberra, Sydney, Hobart, Melbourne, Dalesford, and then in New Zealand as well, Christchurch, Wellington, Kitea, Auckland, Waikato. So that's all happening in January and February. And I also want to say I'm sorry again that we had apparently some problems with the audio. We will get this ironed out. It won't happen again, I'm hoping. But remember that the recording of this is available. So you can always listen to the recording later, and it is available. And that comes out great for some reason. That's just, I don't know why people have a hard time hearing it. Some people do, but the recording is always nice and loud. So so that's that. And let's see. Let me check if there's anything else that we need to talk about. I don't see any final press star sticks. If you have any final questions, but it's really been an hour and a half. It's already 10:30 in the Eastern time zone. So I'd like to wrap it up here. And thank you, everyone who participated in the call, those of you who are listening. Thank you so much for your kind attention, for listening, which is really the foundation of compassion, for wisdom, and for interconnectedness and mindfulness, our capacity to listen and to understand. Thanks to all of you for sharing. Pamela Zeman from Seattle, that was Pamela we heard from in the beginning, I believe, talking about vegetable mineral miracle. And which doesn't sound like, much like a miracle to me, but thank you, all of you, for participating. And I will see if I can make a, well, just feel free to go. If you want to read the poem, I Am the Vegan Activist, that is post that I wrote. That's posted at worldpeacewriters.org. You have the resources for the World Peace Diet Circle are up at the website that I mentioned. Also, that one thing that I mentioned briefly there about the so-called compassionate turkey, slaughter, but that's what it was, a killing, murder. If you want to see that, it's in the November resources. So it is in the November resources, and it's under... the title of it is 12 Reasons You May Never Want Turkey Again. 12 Reasons You May Never Want to Eat Turkey Again, actually. 12 Reasons You May Never Want to Eat Turkey Again. It's on the freefromharm.org website. And it's really an amazingly good article. It's got a lot of short videos that are really very helpful, showing both the beauty and wonder of turkeys, and then also showing different ways that people use and abuse them. But it's very, very interesting since we're now, Christmas is coming up, so the turkeys are still suffering as we speak. So I recommend that. And then in December resources, please just go through that. I mean, there's some amazing stuff here. I didn't have a chance to get to this, unfortunately. There's this wonderful new video of Madeline making this vegan gratima for St. Nicholas Day. This is a tradition in Switzerland. So she veganized it, and it's like kind of like a big non-sweet gingerbread man, but it's a special spiritual significance to it. And we have that video, some audio of me giving interviews, and my most recent article, What Would Happen to All the World, to All the Animals If Everyone Went Vegan, Also, this great new video, actually, called Wisdom from Antiquity to Present, Famous Vegan Quotes. I highly recommend that. It's really good, very inspiring, and I'm humbled and honored that they actually chose to feature a lot of what I wrote in the World Peace Diet in that video. And so we also, some of our World Peace Diet vegans have written articles. Megan has got an article in the Huffington Post. Veronique has a great website with her blog with the Vegan Solution to Breast Cancer. We have our World Peace Diet Shanti has written a book that's is selling on Amazon now. It's an excellent book. I highly recommend it. And there's an amazing video about the USDA Wildlife Services that I recommend. Also, this debate between Neil Bernard and Gene Bauer on the vegan side, Chris Masterjohn and Joel Salatin on the not on the sort of anti-vegan side. There was a big public debate on TV and live, and the vegans definitely won this debate. It was really a hands down win. made the non-vegans before the debate. You can read it. It's there, but the vegans, it was really great. So the word is spreading. I think it's very important for us to continue to work to keep the momentum going. There's a huge amount happening. Al Gore has finally gone vegan. I mean, that's good news. It took him a while, but he is now vegan, along with Bill Clinton, supposedly. They're both, but Al Gore is definitely considers himself a vegan now. Definitely see Blackfish if you can. It's a great, great film about Tilikum, the whale, the killer whale imprisoned in Florida. Some other wonderful articles in here. I don't have time to go through all of them, but this one of the soccer playing turkeys is really interesting. But anyway, there's a lot there. So we have another month, and we look forward to our gathering in January. And right after that, we're flying off to Taiwan, and I'm not sure what's going to happen in February. We'll be in Australia the third Thursday in February. We're going to try to get on this call, I guess, by Skype. We'll try to figure it out, but we'll be in touch with you, of course, as we get closer to that time. So as we begin to wind up here, thanks again for joining us. Much love to you all. Adeline sends her love as well. We really appreciate the efforts that you're making, and never doubt that any effort that you make is ever lost. They are not lost. Even if it seems that someone didn't change the way you wanted them to, the most important thing is to just relax, let go, know that we plant seeds, and the more deeply and authentically we can embody veganism, the more effectively we can plant the seeds. So we send our love to you all, and we look forward to the next call. Thank you again for joining us. Much love to you all. Thank you.